Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And then at 1 o'clock, our partner on the Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tyvus Powell, will join us. Tyvus had some really great thoughts about the game yesterday, so anxious to talk to him today.
How was the anger meter on the postgame show yesterday?
Well, you're seeing it right now.
Yeah, I think people level off, though, by noon the next day. I always think that people are a little bit more...
Dano, you were here.
You tell me.
I would say people are more mad today than they were yesterday.
I would say people are more mad today than they were yesterday, though I'm not Jake Murrin today where I'm answering the calls.
Oh, okay.
So,
Jake, do you want to be the madometer?
As the first line of defense answering the calls.
Don't yell
yesterday
at the folks answering the calls. They didn't play.
Yeah, they're just saying hello and making sure you don't swear on the air. That's all. What's the difference? Angry?
I don't think it's too bad. I didn't see the post-game show yesterday, but I feel like there have been two or three calls that were really angry, and that was kind of expressed on air, but most of it's just disappointment, like you guys were talking about.
It's disappointment. It's like me saying to you, hey, I can't believe you didn't do your homework. I'm very disappointed in you. We expect more out of you.
Yeah, I got yelled at.
We thought we parented you better. I guess it's on us then. Blame your parents.
So the Dallas Cowboys defense is a terrific defense. We know that. That said, the offensive display yesterday by the Browns was just awful. And
was it awful because their defense was that good? Well, is that a possibility?
Except for one thing. If you want to win, you got to beat good defenses.
Okay.
Your offense has to play well against good defenses. The final numbers from the game, I don't think, are indicative
of
the way the offense played against a good Dallas defense. Because, you know, they put together a big drive late in the game when it was out of hand and everything else. I think this is more indicative. And these are the halftime stats yesterday. And this is what bothers me. The Browns yesterday, because keep in mind, even though they were down, 20-3 at halftime, it was 7-3 after the first quarter. So that's a game, right?
Right.
You're down 14-3 early in the second, down 17-3 at the 2:06 mark. So you're in this game for the entire first half. Are you not? Late they get a field goal to make it 20-3.
At 20-7, you thought, okay, the score might be lopsided at
20-3.
Well, I'm just saying, even at 20-3. Yeah, 20-3. I'm sorry. Even at 20-3 at halftime.
You thought you'd come out early?
You're like, okay, you had a bad half. Let's leave it in the locker room and see if we can get and start to execute better. I know we only had one first down there, but you know, we can do better.
But
we know we can, and maybe we come back in the second half and we're like, okay. But that didn't ever happen.
I think the offensive performance needs to be based off of what we saw in the first half. Because the second half, I don't think it really matters. Because after that punt return, it was a quick punt by the Browns after the first possession. Throw that in, punt return, boom, game changed. First half, Browns had 54 yards in total offense. First half.
Ugh.
They had 23 yards rushing. And that's when the game is still, I mean, you can run the ball. There were only 23 yards rushing. There were only 31 yards passing. And you just mentioned it, Andy, the most disappointing thing. You had one first down in the first half. The offense, you know, don't look big picture. Just look at the half. That you came out after all of your work in training camp, after going to the Greenbrier, after three preseason games where the offense didn't look good, and you didn't have most of your starters out there, but the offense that was out there didn't look real good in the preseason, and the offense didn't look good in the first half. That, to me, is the most telling thing. You had one first down and 54 total yards in the first half. The offense was awful. And the running game, I personally think they have three solid enough running backs. Could you not run the ball because you had two tackles out there that you weren't crazy about? But I'm sorry, I'm crazy about DeJuan Jones. I thought DeJuan played real well last year. To me, though you didn't have two of your tackles who you probably are going to start, if you'll remember, there's a big question. Are you going to start DeJuan Jones? Are you going to start Jack Conklin? Are you going to start Jed Wills? We kind of assumed all three are interchangeable. So I'm really going to say you're only missing one offensive lineman yesterday, and that was somebody to play left tackle. James Hudson had to step up. DeJuan Jones started a lot last year.
Yeah, he didn't. So he didn't have the finest game yesterday.
No,
though,
but
sure.
Andy, I'm not counting him in you've got a substitute in there. He was dang good last year.
Yeah, but I'm at the point now where he's got work to even do. Remember how we've been saying for weeks that once DeJuan gets that job, he's going to stick. Yeah, yesterday didn't make me feel that way.
Well, exactly. So what happened? And what happened to the interior of the line? Because they just did not run the ball well. There was no time for Deshaun Watson. When there was, he had so many bad throws, it was ridiculous, where he wasn't even close to guys.
Some of it looked like when he was coming back, there were a couple I saw, I was like, oh, he threw it in the ground? What? Where's this coming from?
And a lot of this is on Deshaun.
Made me think on injury, though. Like, is there not a part of you today, when you look at that offense, and go, maybe we're just trying to make excuses for ourselves, maybe Deshaun's not anywhere near 100%? Maybe Deshaun's still hurt.
Maybe he's just not very good anymore. Sorry, it's Andy, it's been since 2020 when he was good.
Jeff, I heard you say way too many times that you felt like there were points during last year's season when he did look healthy.
I thought so.
That he looked like he was back.
I thought he looked pretty good at times. But guess what? You're not being paid to look good at times. You're being paid to play quarterback and be competent all the time. I mean, you're making $230 million guaranteed. Second highest. There you go, Jerry Jones. Second highest guaranteed dollar figure in the NFL. And being okay in half the games, well, that's no good. That's no good. What if Myles Garrett was good half the time? That's no good.
Yeah.
And I think this is telling. I can't blame Deshaun on this. This goes to the entire offense. The completion percentage for Deshaun yesterday wasn't terrific. He was 24 of 45. That's just over 50%. But what skews that in the over 50% category was the short throws to guys like David Njoku, 5 targets, 4 catches. Jerome Ford, 7 targets, 6 catches. And Jordan Akins throwing to the other tight end, 4 targets, 3 catches. In throwing to the wide receivers yesterday, you ready? 9 targets of Amari Cooper, 2 catches.
Should have been 3, but for sure, and a touchdown. But
8 targets.
I can't believe
of Jerry Jeudy.
That was so not Amari. That was like eight, that was somebody who took over his body on that one play. Go ahead.
8 targets of Jerry Jeudy, 3 catches. Elijah Moore, 6 targets, 3 catches for 9 yards. So in throwing to the wide receivers yesterday, folks, 23 targets to the top 3 wide receivers. 23 targets. And out of that, you had, Andy, 8 receptions. you threw 23 balls to the wide receivers, and you had 8 receptions. That's all the way around. That's on the wide receivers, that's on Deshaun, and that's on the offensive line. You could even say it might be on play calling because you called bad plays. Callum is in Cleveland. Callum.
Hey, how you doing? But yeah, I just want to talk about the Deshaun Watson thing. I feel like Andrew Berry's like kind of career depends on it, and he has to kind of force his hand to play Deshaun. But it's also like, yeah, he didn't do good, but the flashes were there. He broke so many sacks yesterday, and I'm not trying to like protect Deshaun. He wasn't good at all. He needs to be better. But it's the first game of the year. One, it's a great defense. It's two of the top three defense yesterday were playing, and it's like, we paid him $250. I don't know the amount of money, but he's guaranteed the money. You kind of have to play the guy, whether you like it or not, because you paid the guy. You can't not play this guy you paid that much money, because if you don't pay that guy, Andrew Berry's, he's not going to be the GM for another couple weeks if that's the case, because you have to force this guy to at least have the potential to be good. And if you're not forcing it, then he's definitely not going to be the GM. So I feel like it's just, they have no choice but to play Deshaun at this point. But, I mean, we just got to be hopeful. It's week one. I mean, a lot of overreactions, I feel like. It's a great defense, but I don't know. What's your guys' take on it, really?
All right, Callum. Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling for the first time. Defense wasn't good yesterday.
Well, I mean,
but it was put in a bad spot.
They were on
the
field like virtually the entire first half.
Exactly, 20 minutes.
I thought you brought up a great point with the wide receivers there, and what we're saying, the longest catch by a wide receiver for the Browns yesterday, for a wide receiver, not running back or tight end,
was what?
15 yards to Jerry Jeudy, 15.
Well, they weren't throwing the ball downfield.
No.
Jeudy was disappointing. Elijah Moore's been disappointing since he's been here, and Amari had a rough game.
I mean, Njoku had a 30-yard catch, 29-yard catch, but, I mean, he's a tight end. And again, and then you lose him to injury. Oh, man, I hope he's okay. Again, he was in a boot after the game yesterday, but hopefully that was precautionary.
Johnny's in Cuyahoga Falls, birthplace of me. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny. Can we get that on the signs? Welcome to Cuyahoga Falls, birthplace of Jeff Phelps.
And my daughter.
And hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, I was calling today because, first of all, let me just start this conversation off like this. Well, the Steelers were the only team in our division to win.
Right.
And the only team that didn't start their starter, projected starter. How about that, right?
Yeah, that's true. Russell Wilson didn't go, and Justin Fields did.
Now, my biggest issue is that we are not giving Deshaun the treatment we would have given Baker if he'd have had the same performance yesterday. I think Deshaun should be held accountable just as much as Baker was when he had bad games.
Without question,
he had a bad line. I understand that, you know, the play calling wasn't, you know, at best. But Joe Flacco with the, you know, pretty much the same O-line minus one guy and, you know, the same receivers, if not worse, did better. And no Nick Chubb. So what's the solution here, guys?
Johnny, thank you very much. I don't know. Remember, they had a different offense yesterday. First Joe Flacco reference, 12-14 on Monday. Dan, write that down, will you? September 9th. Stefanski's press conference coming up at 12:30. We're letting you vent, folks. We're hoping to throw some information along to you along the way, some thoughts from us, some corrections that might need to be made, some things, maybe keeping things real, because it was just one loss, but certainly was an ugly one.
Daryl Ryder and I, well, we're going to track the season episode by episode on our podcast. It's always game day in Cleveland, including post-game drops after every game. Like last night, you want to go back in. Oh, you think Daryl was fired up on the morning show? Go watch It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. You can see that on YouTube, but you can also listen to it on the Odyssey app. So subscribe to the podcast now at 923thefan.com on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Sponsored locally by our good friends at Smiley One and Brian, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Jeff, you want to be even more irritated?
Click, click, click.
Can I irritate you?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
So I didn't realize it. We have these schedule boards in the studio, right?
Stefanski's press conference, six minutes.
As soon as this story won't take 6 minutes. So what I need you to do, Jeff, is
you
I
just
want
took
you
a picture.
I'm reading.
Oh, okay.
So I went up to go write the score down because I like to look every once in a while. So a quick reference to the scores, Jeff. I want you to read. This is going to really aggravate Jeff. Read the score, and I don't know who's been doing it, but look at the Seattle game. from preseason and read that score to me. It's going to impact you.
Seattle lost 33-37. Somebody just flunked day one of sportscaster school.
Yes, they did. Higher score first.
How's Poobah hire these people?
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What do you think? He doesn't care. He's just running it in like it's a hot dog factory. Just get me the stuff that you need to put in the hot dogs.
What?
It's like a hot dog factory. Got something that resembles meat? Bring it in.
Oh, my God.
Bring it in. It's Dollar Dog Day at 92.3 The Fan.
That got way less cannibalistic than where it started. I'll sure give him that.
Thank Larry you. In Cleveland. Larry, help, please. Larry, come on.
Larry.
Come on, man. I like to say, man, Ken Dorsey destroyed the game, man. How you going to set him up for failure with all this, no audibles at all, and then you didn't play him in preseason? The whole first unit to play at least one quarter every quarter, every game of the preseason. That's when you get failure, man, because you got to get your rhythm. I told y'all early, anytime you play NFL, you got to play in that preseason. It's important because you got to get your rhythm. All the NFL good teams going to play their major players.
Patrick Mahomes played in the preseason, right, Larry?
Right, man. That's the thing about it, man. I can understand. Ken Dorsey got to get him, Kabaski, you will not get coach of the year. You blew it, baby, because this is like a playoff game. They supposed to at least make an effort, man.
All right, Larry. Thank you very much. The cool thing about Larry's call, Larry was listening to himself rant.
Yes.
While he was ranting to us.
Yes. But he was right. The Browns had as much rhythm as I do in a line dance. Like electric slide, let's just go old school. I could watch people do electric slide all day. Still don't get it. Don't understand it. Cha-cha slide. Nope, out of it.
Kevin's press conference.
Macarena. Nope.
About 3 minutes. Ian is in Pittsburgh.
I can find the rhythm in all those, but I need somebody in front of me to just help me with the steps.
Ian's
in Pittsburgh, home of the only undefeated team in the AFC North.
I'm a Browns fan, so there's no enemy territory here.
Oh, good. I'm glad they checked your passport at the screening. Okay, good. What do you got?
I mean, I just want to talk about how we are just an unserious organization when it comes to winning. We had nobody play in the preseason. You got distractions everywhere. I mean, there's more talk about the new stadium than there is the product on the field. And I understand
Michael
we had
in
injuries.
Brook Park.
I mean, there is no seriousness around this football team. I mean, Deshaun Watson is a whole different story on how bad he is. It's just... It's the same thing every year, and we expect different results. And you guys were talking about if we're more disappointed or angry. I was disappointed yesterday, and then I woke up this morning, and I'm watching the game again, the highlights. It was embarrassing. The whole thing was embarrassing. And the fans had every right in the stadium to be booing. And I'll hang up and listen now. But it was just bad.
Thank you, Ian, very much.
And by the way, Jeff, let's be honest. I don't think you or I or and no one's mad at the fans for booing. Like, if we were doing local news, you know what the table would have been this morning. We'd be like, did you hear Browns fans booing at their own team yesterday? We need to go out and do a story on that. Let's get 6 cameras on that. We don't need to do anything else. Browns fans were booing at their own team.
You know why they were
booing? That's horrible. Oh, because let's lead.
You know why Browns fans were booing?
Because they earned it.
A, they're emotional.
Yeah.
B, they care. And C, they were right.
Yes.
That's the big three, isn't it? It's the fanciest press conference coming up. Mark, we're going to take your call. We might have to bail on you.
They were yelling at the our mascots yesterday. I saw them yelling at Robo Dog. I felt bad for Robo Dog there for a second.
Brownie the Elf looked good on the field, though, Mark.
Thanks for taking the call. This is not an overreaction to game 1 of 17. It's about accountability. In June, the start before this season, Stefanski and Barry had their contracts extended. This says to me ownership was pleased with the table that had been set for the upcoming season. Fans are not in the building. We do not see what these two guys see every day. What I've seen out here in the streets, a blowout loss to the team involved in the trade and an impressive 2 years by the guy they gave up on. These two guys should be held accountable to the decisions they've made, and damn, that accountability is not contract extensions. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Mark. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so going back to RoboDog there for a second. I felt bad for it. It's actually kind of a cool mascot. I'm trying to do everything I can to not be as miserable and thinking about this game as possible. But
there's no choice.
RoboDog works pretty hard. I got to tell you, I was watching RoboDog yesterday for a little bit.
If a RoboDog is mechanical, does it really work?
Yeah, of course. What do you mean? It's real, isn't it?
Like my van works. Is that what you're talking about?
No, there's no rust on RoboDog.
That's Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach. Any answers there for you, Mr. Baskin?
I'm just digesting all of everything he said. He gave you every answer a coach was going to give you. So a ton of coach speak in that. I wrote down a couple. Disappointed. It's on us. On to Jacksonville. Talked about Deshaun. Wasn't really going to get into the personal stuff with Deshaun, which is probably the right call there. Yeah. David Njoku, the important parts. I just didn't really I'm wondering where Jeff Shadell was going with that one question. It sounded like it didn't get to where it needed to go, or what he was. He was asking something about pregame, and I don't know. Jameis Winston sounded like Jameis Winston was leading things. I think that's what it sounded like. I'll ask Jeff here when I get a chance. I was trying to ask there because I don't know if it sounded like Jeff said that while he was watching during pregame that. Jameis was kind of leading things. I got to go back. It sounded interesting, and then it didn't go somewhere with it. So I don't know.
Kevin talking about the defense, and he said, I'll paraphrase, you know, we played pretty good defense for most of that game. Only thing, I can't completely argue with him on that.
I didn't think the defense was horrible. I thought the defense was spent.
Well, let me throw a couple things at you.
Okay.
You've mentioned, and accurately so, the Cowboys had double the time of possession of the Browns in the first half.
Yeah, and if you would have taken away the last drive for the Browns, I think it was like triple at one point.
Well, the reason I bring that up, the first half is where the defense had some issues.
Yeah.
Because the first Dallas touchdown came on a 6-play, 70-yard drive. They went right down the field.
Is that the one where Denzel got burned but then came right back and just missed that interception?
That's where Brandon Cooks caught the touchdown and got behind the defense.
Yeah.
And then next possession, I believe it was. It was later on in the second quarter. Ezekiel Elliott scored the touchdown to finish off an 11-play, 78-yard drive. So there were two very big drives by the Dallas offense against the Browns defense. Other than that, the Cowboys scores came on a field goal by Aubrey, 5-play, 17-yard drive.
I've got to ask you a question here in a second about Aubrey. So go ahead.
The one right before half, they got the ball back, 4 plays, 1 yard, Aubrey 40-yard field goal. Third quarter, they scored on a punt return and on a field goal on a 6-play, 14-yard drive, and then another field goal, a 6-play, 10-yard drive. So truly, the Cowboys' offense wasn't that terrific yesterday. They had two really nice drives.
Efficient and did what they needed to do.
Well, they had two nice drives.
Yeah. But
and does that make it a bad day for the Browns' defense? I don't know that it does. The Browns' defense was put in a really bad spot all the way around. So I kind of agree with Kevin. The defense, though it wasn't fabulous, there's no question it wasn't fabulous, really just gave up two drives.
Yeah, and well, and
which in most instances
is a win.
Yeah,
in most games.
Yeah.
Would you have let him kick the 71-yarder? He made the 65 when the clock ran out.
Yeah, it was 66. And it would have tied 66, an NFL
yeah.
record.
Yeah. And what's interesting was, I didn't see where the Dallas coaching staff had any complaints. It was crystal clear on TV
yeah.
that the clock had hit zero, and they kicked it. He probably kicked it like 2 seconds after. Now, I don't know if there's a lag between real time and TV time, which I think sometimes we forget about, for the same reason that we think plays that were our helmet-to-helmet plays to us when we watch them on TV are just so obvious and so blatant, but they're so fast when you're watching the game in real speed that you don't get them. But would you have let him kick the 71-yarder? I think I would have. They had nothing to lose. They had all the momentum. The only difference was the Browns decided to put Denzel underneath the
Well, when you've got your blocking unit out there for a field goal, you're not. I mean, that's not a unit designed to tackle people. And maybe, you know, Mike McCarthy just thought 71. I mean, there's a reason the NFL record is 66.
Yeah, I thought Jeff, based on that kick, that 66-yard kick, I thought he was going to give him a shot.
You know his background? He was a professional soccer player, and he was in the MLS, right, Dan? Who did he play for? I forget who he played for. But he went, I think he was a Notre Dame soccer player, went to the MLS, and was sitting home watching football with his wife. And his wife said, "You think you can do that?" Because the soccer didn't work out for him. I think Brandon Aubrey, I think, was a first-round pick by whoever he played for in the MLS. And I'm just talking off the top of my head. But I was watching him last year, you know, leading up, because he was booming this ball like crazy. And
Toronto.
The Cowboys brought him in, and he won the kicking job despite not kicking in college. And the dude just, he's got such a nice, you know what he reminds me of? This is a golf comparison. You ever watch Fred Couples hit an iron shot? Fred had the easiest swing ever on his irons, and then boom, you know, 200-yard shot. Just a nice, easy swing. And that's what Brandon Aubrey has on his field goals. And he's got a real soccer background. He's a pro soccer player.
Yeah, so he was in the 2017 MLS Super Draft, drafted by Toronto.
There you go. So would I have given him a shot? I don't know. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. You know that weird rule where if you fair catch?
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Brandon Aubrey do one of those someday. You know, and they go, hey, all right, we got 70 yards to win the game. Go for it.
You know what's funny? As you started thinking about that, I like Dallas has never been scared to have a non-traditional kicker, right? Remember Tim Cedar, the kid from Ashland, that kicked for them? That was just like out of the blue. It was probably, man, he's got to be almost 50 now. It was, he kicked, man, I just looked it up. He kicked for Dallas, the Vikings, the Jaguars, and then a couple other teams after that. And he was a kid that was sitting on the shelf. He was a Division II kicker from Ashland. And then the Cowboys brought him in 2000. And he gave him the opportunity. I remember going to do a story in Ashland after. That's the only reason why I remember it. And just it was just really a cool story. And he had kicked a game winner. And everyone was like, wow, this is really cool. And then this kid from Ashland who had been a D2 kicker. I don't know. Sometimes you look at some of these
it's
kickers.
It's why you don't draft a kicker.
That's exactly why. Bingo. That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. If I do say so myself. Mm-hmm. Tyvus Powell, Browns Radio Network, joining us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. You want to chat about it? By all means, hang on. We'll be taking your calls at about 1:20. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.